Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a wonderful time of year it is, isn't it? There's a lot of smiles, a lot of joy that you see, maybe in your house, maybe around town. Yesterday, we got a chance to go caroling, and we went from place to place around town, and we shared songs, and most everybody was smiling and so thankful to have those Christmas carols. I said most everybody. We went by these big mounds of snow, and there were some kids that were playing up on top of the snow, and I nudged Noah, and I said, let's sing Go Tell It on the Mountain to those kids. And so we started singing, and to my amazement, one kid up on top of the mountain started going, boo, boo, and started throwing snowballs at us. So most everybody was excited, but there was that little bit of disappointment for that one kid, and his mother was just horrified. Jimmy, stop that right now. Yeah, I would say that most people are pretty joyful. There's a sense of joy and expectation during this time of Christmas. But you know what? Christmas falls differently on different people depending on what they're going through at that time. I always think of my mother. My mother always had these big plans, these big thoughts of how amazing and perfect things like Christmas were going to be, and it never really seemed to turn out the way that she had planned it to be. There was always a little bit of disappointment at Christmas. As I was preparing for this message, I found a couple of funny stories that I think illustrate this idea of disappointment at Christmas. Young Jessica always wanted a dog for Christmas. She asked Santa at the mall, and she even put it on her wish list. When Christmas came, her mother handed her a huge box with holes in it. Excited, Jessica ripped it open, only to be disappointed to find a little pot-belly pig. Then Jessica asked her mom, "Why did Santa get me a pig?" From the kitchen, her dad yelled, "Oh, that's my fault." "Why?" Jessica asked. Her father answered, "I asked Santa for a Christmas ham." Little bit of disappointment there on little Jessica's part. Last Christmas, Grandpa was feeling his age and found that shopping for Christmas gifts had just become a little too difficult for him. So he decided this Christmas he would just send checks to all of his loved ones instead. So in each card he wrote, "Buy your own present," and mailed them early. He enjoyed the usual flurry of family festivities, and it was only after the holiday that he noticed he had received very few cards in return. Puzzled over this, he went into his study, intending to write a couple of his relatives and ask what had happened. It was then, as he cleared off his cluttered desk, that he got his answer. Under a stack of papers, he was horrified to find the gift checks, which he had forgotten to enclose with the cards. Buy your own present. I'm sure there were a lot of people that were disappointed that Christmas. Yes, as amazing as this time of year is, there's also a little bit of disappointment during the time of Christmas. Maybe you've experienced that. I know that I have. And like I said, my mother seemed to experience it about every year. Well, this idea of being disappointed in circumstances, being disappointed in people, and even being disappointed in God is what we see in our gospel lesson for today. It says, when the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Now, if you think about it, this is kind of a crazy question that these disciples of John the Baptist are asking Jesus. Now, why would they ask this question? Well, their leader, John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus Christ, the one who was to come to prepare the way for the Messiah, was in a dungeon. He was in a prison, wasting away in a dark, dingy prison, put there by an evil king. And day after day after day, I'm sure John the Baptist was thinking, the Messiah is here. He has power. He's raising people from the dead. He's healing people of every kind of sickness. He's coming. He's going to get me out of this thing. And day after day after day went by, and he was still there in that prison. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Well, John the Baptist knew that Jesus was the Messiah. They knew each other literally before they were ever born. When John's mother, Elizabeth, experienced a now pregnant Mary coming into her house, the Bible says that John the Baptist, the baby in her womb, leapt in excitement that Jesus was there. They knew each other before they were ever born. And we don't know anything about their childhoods growing up together. They lived probably about 80 miles apart from one another. But John the Baptist and his family lived right around Jerusalem. And we know that almost every Jewish family came back to Jerusalem at least 3 times a year. So chances are Jesus and John knew each other very well and probably saw each other multiple times a year. And then, of course, we have at the beginning of Jesus' ministry where John got a chance to baptize his own cousin in the Jordan River. And when Jesus appeared, John knew who he was because he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world." Are you the one who is to come? No, John knew that it was he. Then why did he say those words? It was his way of saying, "Hey, what's going on? You're the Messiah. You have infinite power. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You do amazing miracles for everybody. Why am I still here? Are you the one that is to come, or should we be looking for somebody else?" You can hear the disappointment. You can hear the offense that's brewing in John the Baptist. At that very hour, Jesus cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind people he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things that you've seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them." And then look at this last line. "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." He was speaking to John, wasn't he? All of these things are happening. "Yes, I am the Messiah who was to come. And blessed is anybody that does not get offended by me or the way that I do things." Ouch. Life had just not gone the way that John the Baptist thought it should go. And during this Christmas season, maybe there's many of you out here today that kind of feel the same way. It's awful hard to enjoy the Christmas season if you've got that nagging hurt or pain, that health issue that just doesn't seem to go away. I know that many of you are struggling with relationship issues. Some of you are struggling with your spouse, some people with your children, some people with your parents or another loved one in your life. It's just not the way that you thought it was going to go this Christmas. Some of you are struggling with financial issues. Maybe you thought that you were going to start and finish your career at the same job, but just a few years before retiring, you find that they let you go. We had 15 funerals here at St. John's this last year. That's a lot of people that are experiencing Christmas this year very, very different than they had the year before. It's just not the way that you thought it was going to be. And maybe there's a sense of disappointment and maybe even a little offense at God. God, why did you let this happen to me? Maybe you can understand a little bit of what John is feeling in our gospel lesson for today. When life doesn't make sense, and you know, sometimes it doesn't. For all of us, there are times it doesn't make sense. What we're going to be doing here today for the rest of this message is just looking at three things to remember when life doesn't make sense. Number one, remember, we don't always see the whole picture of the plan of God for our lives. God sees the whole picture from beginning to end. All we see is right in front of us. Oh, there is a plan, and it is a good plan. We see that in Jeremiah 29. I'm sure many of you have this passage memorized. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God does have good plans for us. But we don't always see those plans. And that's why it says in Isaiah 55, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." We don't always see it. We don't always see. We're stuck right in the middle of those plans that he has for us. Maybe we have a little bit of understanding of what has happened in the past, but we don't know what's coming down the pike. We don't know from beginning to end how God is working out his perfect plans for our life. And sometimes it looks like those plans are non-existent. Sometimes it looks like God isn't good, but he is. He still knows you, he still loves you, and he's still working out his plan, even if we can't understand it. Number two, remember this. God hears every one of our prayers, but we don't always understand just how God is answering those prayers. I read this a couple of weeks ago somewhere on the internet, and the gentleman that was writing it simply said this: "I'm not much of a theologian. All I know is that when I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't." And maybe you can relate to that. I know I certainly can. In those times that I have turned something over to the Lord, a difficulty that I was going through, one way or the other, it seems in the next few days or weeks or even months, I'll see this divine appointment take place where you know that you know that you know through this divine coincidence, or as sometimes we call it, God's sentences, all of a sudden you see how everything seems to be coming together. God has promised to hear our prayers. That leads to our very important point of the day. It's this: when you pray, because of Jesus, because of what he did when he came here as that little baby born on Christmas, something will happen that wouldn't have happened if you didn't pray. We share this all the time in our healing services. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it or when he's going to do it, but something's going to happen now that we've prayed that wouldn't have happened if we didn't. Why do we have such confidence in that? Because Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Our God is not a liar. And so when we pray, there is a holy God sitting on his throne listening to us. Doors will be opened. Prayers will be answered. How can we be sure of that? Well, that brings us back to what this time and season is all about. What did Jesus do in coming here to this earth 2,000 years ago? It says in 1 Corinthians 5:18, God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that our sin, all of those thoughts and words and actions that we do that are against the will of God, had separated us far from God. And so God wasn't able to help us. He wasn't able to hear us when we call out to him. But through that little baby that grew up and lived that perfect life in our place and then died taking the punishment of all of our sins on that cross and then rising again, Jesus took us and God, who were far apart, and he brought us back together. He reconciled us with the Father. And now every prayer that you pray gets through to his ears, and he is there to help you in your time of need. When you pray because of Jesus, something is going to happen that wouldn't have happened if you didn't pray. But the how and the when that change, whatever it's going to be, will happen, is in the hands of an infinitely good and wise God. We also say that at our healing services. I don't know what he's going to do. I know he's going to do something, but I don't know how he's going to do it, and I don't know when he's going to do it. I just know that he's going to do something. So remember, we don't always know the whole picture of the plans of God for our life. God hears every prayer that we pray, but we don't always understand how God is answering those prayers or the timing for answering those prayers. And then finally, number three, and probably most importantly, while we wait on him and his answer to our prayers, we focus on what we do know. There's so many things, if you think about it, that you and I don't know about the will of God. There are so many things that we would like to know that are not written in the pages of Scripture. But while we are waiting on those things that we don't know, we don't understand, we focus on the things that we do know because God has written them in his word. I was thinking this week about Romans 8. What a great passage of Scripture. So many wonderful promises that we can hold on to as we wait on God. Like verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you ever think to yourself, well, the reason that all these bad things are happening to me is because maybe God is upset with me and he's mad at me and he's punishing me for what I've done wrong. If you ever think that, remember Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation now for those that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus already took your condemnation and there's no more left. Him suffering and dying on the cross, that was for you. That was your condemnation that he paid for, and now there's nothing left for you. So the trials and the tribulations that you're going through, it isn't because God is mad at you and he's punishing you. His punishment was already doled out on a cross 2,000 years ago. We do know that. We also know this. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is his promise. I don't always get it. I don't always understand it, but it's his promise. One way or another, he's going to take even the worst things in your and my life, and he's going to turn it around in some way so that a blessing will be there for you because he loves you. I love this one from Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Think about it. If God loved you so much that he sent his own dear son down to this earth to be born in such humble circumstances and laid in a manger, only to then grow up, always obeying the Father every day of his life, and then to be cruelly beaten and hung on a cross. If God loved you and me so much that he would send his son to do that for you and me, is there anything that he wouldn't do for you? The answer is no. If he loved you that much, then why would we ever doubt that he would just turn us aside in our time of need? He won't do that. We know that. And then these amazing words at the end of Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do you and I know? Because of Jesus, God's love is never going to leave you. God is going to be present with you, loving on you all the days of your life, and even after you leave this life, into an eternity in heaven with him. And nothing will ever be able to separate you from that. As you're going through these difficult things in your life, always go back to the things that you do know as you're waiting on him. He loves you with an amazing love. We see that in Zephaniah 3, our Old Testament lesson. Just let these words sink into you this Christmas. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Yes, far from being mad at you, far from punishing you for what you've done wrong, God is in heaven, according to Zephaniah, singing over you. That's how much he loves you. So often as I'm holding my two little grandkids, just looking into their faces, I'll start singing. And I don't even know why. It's just, I love them. God, your heavenly Father, is doing that over you as well. That's an amazing love that God has for you. Just as we finish this message, let's go back to John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, rotting away in this dungeon, not understanding what is going on, completely disappointed in what God's plans were, offended at Jesus. Jesus says, go back and tell him all of the amazing things that I'm doing, and blessed are those who don't get offended by me. And then John's messengers, his disciples, leave. So that's all they heard. But look at what Jesus says. Jesus began to speak to the crowd after they left about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and even more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. In other words, what is Jesus saying to these people? John? Yeah, that's my boy. I love him. And there's no one greater than him. John never heard that. His messengers had already left. But behind that closed door, so to speak, Jesus just went on and on and on about how much he loves John. There are going to be things in your and my life that we're not going to understand. We're going to struggle with things. We're going to be disappointed sometimes. We may even be tempted to get offended by God. We may think terrible thoughts like, I'm being punished for something that I've done wrong. But remember this, Jesus has already paid for your punishment. And far from being upset with you, far from having forgotten you, God is singing over you. He loved John, and he loves you, no matter what you're going through this Christmas. God bless you. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.